There are some fascinating insights as to the symbolism of the lost coin in the gospel story today, and I'm not going to go into the history of why this coin would have meant so much to the woman. But I encourage you to look into it and study it. Just know that it wasn't just the loss of some money to her. It was far more important than that. Neither will I speak of the symbolism of the two brothers in the prodigal son story today, but again, I encourage you to research that symbolism. What I want to focus on today is the celebration, the party. Jesus talks about a single sheep being lost and how the shepherd is so upset by it. He invests himself fully in finding it. He leaves the other sheep to search for it. Notice the imagery. The shepherd isn't just hoping the sheep will return. He is actively going out of his way to try to find where it could be. You can tell he must be pretty distraught, almost obsessed with finding this one sheep in his flock. It bothers him deeply that that sheep is not with him. The same is true in the story of the woman who lost the coin. She isn't passive about it. She doesn't dismiss it as a lost cause. You can almost visualize her desperately lighting the lamp so she can see in the shadows, moving the furniture of the house, crawling around on her hands and knees, sweeping every nook and cranny. She needs this coin, and to be without it is a disaster for her. In the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost prodigal son, there are some elements common to all three. We know that the father of the prodigal son was longing desperately for his son to return to him. He wanted him back, just as the shepherd his sheep and the woman her coin, even more so. The gospel tells us that the father caught sight of his son while he was still a long way off. He was watching for his return. Now the difference here is that he was not going after the son like the shepherd and the woman were after their lost items. That's because the lost sheep and the lost coin did not make intentional decisions to go astray like the prodigal son. The sheep just wandered off, and the coin was probably dropped. They do not have free will like the prodigal son does. All the father could do is wait and watch. And when he finally sees him, he runs to him. In all three stories, the return of the lost item was a cause for great joy. The shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders and carries it home and calls together all his friends and throws a party. Likewise, the woman calls all her friends and neighbors together to share in her joy. And the father outdoes them all. As the son was coming home repentant, ready to become simply one of his father's slaves, the father orders that a robe be put on him to show his dignity and his family membership. He orders that shoes are to be put on his feet to show that he is not a slave. Slaves were often barefoot. And he orders a ring to be placed on his finger, showing that his son is welcome and restored back fully into the possession of all the father's rank and privilege. Then he throws his son a huge feast and celebrates his return. And now let's look at that other son who is upset about the fact that his disloyal brother is being treated so royally, that such a fuss is being made over him who demanded his inheritance early. It's the same as wishing his father were dead, and then squandered his inheritance away in sin and dishonor. The other son won't even go into the house for the party. But look what happens here. The father goes out to him now. This father is now longing for the return of this son too. The father is not happy that this other son is now distant from him and tries to convince him to come back as well. Let's focus on two things. One, how the lost sheep, coin, and sons caused such distress and even pain for the ones who long for their return. And number two, the celebration that ensued when they were reunited. This is God's love for us. Let's think of this the next time we ponder, or maybe even dread, going to confession. God gave us a free will, so he will not force confession upon us. Like the prodigal son, sometimes we're allowed to sink into the muck and murk of sin. Hopefully, we will have the wisdom the prodigal son had. Hopefully, we will come to our senses as he did and ask for mercy in the sacrament of confession. Notice the son had a plan. He was going to admit his sins and ask only to be treated as a slave. That would have been enough. Yet the father doesn't even let him finish the lines he had rehearsed to say. The father interrupts him after he admits his sin and organizes the feast. That's how eager he is to forgive. That's how readily available mercy is for us. We don't have to beg for forgiveness. God is begging us, eagerly awaiting our return. And when we do, there is such a celebration among the citizens of heaven that there is nothing you can compare it to on earth. If your teams won the World Series, Super Bowl, and Stanley Cup all during the same year in which you won the Powerball, the celebration would pale in comparison to the one in heaven every time you go to confession. And when you and I walk out of that confessional, we are wearing one of the Father's robes of honor, his ring of family identity, and shoes of freedom from the slavery of sin. You and I have the power to make heaven rejoice. You and I have the ability to get God to throw a party, and it's right back there in that box. And this lucky man gets a front row seat, watching God run to meet you, embrace you, to pull you back to himself and to rejoice. This man gets to see the victory of Christ take place, not just as an observer. He gets to be a part of it. It's no wonder so many priests say that their favorite hours are the ones they spend hearing confessions. So I encourage you, do what the prodigal son did. Rise up and go to your father and let the celebration begin.